Amen. Hallelujah. Look away to Him. Amen. 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 Lord Jesus,
Amen.
We're looking away unto you tonight.
Amen.
We thank you for your precious cleansing blood.
Amen.
Cleanse us all afresh.
Amen.
Lord, we're respecting you,
Amen.
Respecting your presence,
Amen.
Respecting your blessing,
Amen.
Respecting your speaking.
Amen.
So we look away unto you.
Amen.
We hold on to you tonight.
Amen.
Lord, bind your enemy.
Amen.
Bind the blinding one.
Amen.
Bind the God of this age.
Amen.
Lord, unveil us to see you again and again.
Amen.
Appear to each one of us tonight.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your word.
Amen.
We thank you for your full salvation.
Amen.
Lord, continue to save us tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for God's full salvation. Many of you have been here for 2 weeks now. Covering this marvelous topic of God's full salvation. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The salvation that our God affords us, it's full.
Amen.
It is complete.
Amen.
It lacks nothing.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Do you need salvation?
Yes.
God will give you salvation.
Amen.
God is saving us.
Amen.
And God will save us.
Amen.
Praise Him.
Amen.
Don't you love our God?
Amen.
He has made provision for us.
Amen.
We couldn't save ourselves, not even if we wanted to.
Right.
But because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead, He made us alive together with Christ.
Amen.
By grace, we have been saved.
Amen.
Are you saved?
Amen.
Say hallelujah, I'm saved.
Hallelujah.
That's right. We should be full of hallelujahs.
Amen.
Because our God has saved us.
Amen.
Our destiny before salvation was the lake of fire, brothers and sisters. We were under God's condemnation. The wrath of God abode upon us. Like a dam that was holding the wrath of God. But praise the Lord. One day the God of glory appeared to us. Isn't that marvelous? I think all of us can. I believe you all had this exercise, right? To write your testimony. That's when what? When the God of glory appeared to you.
Amen.
And He brought salvation to you. Aren't you thankful for that day?
Amen.
I'm thankful for that day.
Amen.
My destiny changed.
Amen.
When did you go out preaching the gospel? Yesterday, right?
Yeah.
People's destinies were changed yesterday.
Amen.
Because one of you spoke to them because a tract was passed out.
Right.
And they may thank you.
Right.
One day, they will say, thank you for going out on that subway and singing.
Amen.
Even though some reviled you, I got saved.
Amen.
Wow. You may not even know that person. But one day you realize the seed of the gospel got into that soil and produce fruit.
Amen.
And the Lord in His mercy used you to bring salvation to another person. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I believe as we have taken a tour of God's salvation during these 2 weeks, we began with God's purpose. I believe we begin every summer school with God's purpose.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It is God's purpose that gives us the way to interpret, to see, to put together all the difficult portions in the Bible. The Bible is not a simple book. But praise the Lord that God has a purpose.
Amen.
And in His mercy, He has unveiled to us this purpose. So when we come to the Bible, we always put on God's purpose glasses. So we can see from Genesis to Revelation, God has a purpose.
Amen.
It's not 66 disjointed books. It's 66 books that reveal God's complete salvation. From beginning to end, we see what God desired. So He created us in His image and after His likeness, and He charged us right? To express Him. He gave us His image to express Him. And He endowed us. He gave us His dominion to represent Him.
Amen.
But we know that there was a great tragedy, right? The brothers called it what? The greatest tragedy in the universe, right? Man, created in God's image and likeness with the marvelous purpose, the lofty purpose to express and represent God, this man failed. So instead of taking in God's life, he partook of another life. And the very man that was created in God's image got damaged by Satan, right? According to Genesis 2:7, we know that the man was created, was made out of the dust of the ground, right? The Lord formed this clay into a figurine that looked just like Him. Do you realize that? God formed a figurine that looks just like God. And then He breathed into the nostrils of that man the breath of life.
Amen.
And man became a living soul. Perfect. Created in God's image. So I always like to ask you, if a lion were there, and you ask the lion, what does this created being look like? What would the lion say? God. Right? Sophia? Sophia? No. Zoya. Did you understand what I was saying? No. Okay. So, there is God. He created this man in His image and likeness. So now, he has the breath of God, breath of life, and he became a living soul. So there is a lion there. And you ask the lion, lion, what is this? The lion would say, that's God. Do you understand? Okay, again. Okay, God created man in His image and likeness, right?
Yeah.
So here is the man created in God's image. Okay. You're the lion. Okay, stay there. Okay, this is the man. Okay, by the way, the word Adam, or it means red clay. Okay, so when the Bible says, and God, right, took the, and God created man, it says, and God created clay. Red clay in His own image, after His own likeness. Living soul. Ah. Right? So now here is man. Right? And see, here's a lion. Okay. Who is this?
God.
Right. Because I created Him in my image and after my likeness.
Amen.
Right? But He doesn't have my life yet. Okay, good. Thank you. You got it? It's important because we have to see we are very special beings.
Amen.
We are created in God's image and after His likeness. With the purpose, God had a purpose that this man would contain His life, would express Him, and would represent Him to the universe.
Right.
So remember, He created us spirit, soul, and body. Right? The breath of God became the spirit of man. And when the breath of God came in contact with what? With that dust of the ground that was formed, that man became a living soul.
Amen.
So we have the body, which is what? The dust of the ground. We have the soul, which is the combination, right? When the breath of God came in contact with the dust of the ground, that formed the soul of man. And the breath of God in man became the spirit of man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there was a receptacle. There was something in us made by God in order to contain Him. That is our human spirit.
Amen.
Every human being, regenerated or not, has a human spirit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And God placed in man eternity. Right? So that man would look for God. So, I want to address something that happened yesterday, right? Some of the people that were hearing the gospel, either through the singing, or through the speaking, or through the passing out of tracts. They got upset. Some people got upset and actually reviled some of you. You know? That was a reaction. Right? Mm-hmm. From what? From the gates of Hades.
Right.
Using those people to try to quench the gospel of God. Right? So we don't need to be mad at them. We need to pray for them.
Amen.
Pray for that lady. Pray for that man. They are created in God's image and likeness. There is a spirit within them.
Amen.
We need to pray, Lord, turn that reviling into repentance.
Amen.
Have mercy on that lady.
Amen.
Have mercy on that man.
Amen.
Perhaps we were the same at one time. We made fun of God. We made fun of the people of God. But God had mercy on us. Wouldn't He be pleased in having mercy on them? Praise the Lord. Okay, so brothers and sisters, in chapter 3 of Genesis, the man that God had created in such a marvelous way, he got contaminated, he got damaged by Satan. That's God's enemy. And the body became what? The flesh. The soul became the self. And the spirit became deadened. Oh, Lord Jesus. What a terrible situation. The very man that God created to express Him, now His body, which was made to express God, has become the flesh that has sin in it. And really, when it's lived out, expresses Satan.
Right.
And the soul that was made also to express God is contaminated with the light. Right? And the spirit, praise the Lord, the spirit was in a sense protected by God.
Amen.
Sin could not get into the spirit, but the spirit of man got deadened. Right? Through regeneration, our spirit becomes alive.
Amen.
That is the initial stage of our salvation.
Right.
So this brings us to the title of this outline. This outline number 14. How about we read it together? The three stages of salvation. Praise the Lord. How many stages?
Three.
How many parts does man have?
Three.
God's salvation is full and complete.
Wow.
Through the fall of man, man's body, man's soul, and man's spirit was damaged. Man's body became the flesh, man's soul became the self, and man's spirit was deadened. But through God's complete salvation, brothers and sisters, our spirit is made alive.
Amen.
Our soul is being saved.
Amen.
And our body will be redeemed.
Amen.
That is God's complete salvation in three stages. So the first stage of God's salvation, or the initial stage, is regeneration. Write that down. The first stage of God's salvation is regeneration. And this includes redemption. On the one hand, right, God, through Christ, accomplished redemption for us. When we believe into what the Lord Jesus did on the cross, what happens? God counts us as righteous as Christ is. So in effect, we are justified by God. Do you understand? Okay, so because we had sinned and had fallen short of the glory of God, we could not receive God, we could not approach God. God could not give us His life. But because God is a righteous God, He just could not, because of His love, just accept us.
Right.
He couldn't do that.
No.
Otherwise, He would be unrighteous. And we would be an enemy that would come and right away point out, God, You're unrighteous. But God is not unrighteous. His throne, right, the base of His throne is righteousness. If He does something unrighteous, the whole universe collapses. So God, in His mercy, right, He would not be unrighteous by just giving man His life without what? Without the shedding of blood. So God Himself became a man. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God Himself became a man.
Amen.
That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He lived a perfect human life. And at 33 and a half years, He went to the cross. And there He accomplished a perfect redemption. So He redeemed us from under the curse of the law. He redeemed us from what? From our old manner of life, right? And He gave us His life. But that's later on. Before, through His redemption, we receive forgiveness of sins. Amen. We are cleansed of our sins. Amen. And not only that, we were enemies of God before that. So now, through His redemption, we are reconciled to God.
Amen.
No longer am I an enemy of God because of what He did on the cross and because of what I believed. Praise the Lord. You know, that's the mystery of our faith. One day, somebody preached the gospel, or we read the Bible, and we got convicted. Yes, Lord, I am a sinner. I need You to save me. I open my heart to You. You know, the other night we had a home meeting, and there was this young man there. And after the home meeting, I just went and talked to him a little bit. And he just was prepared by God.
Amen.
He was attracted by God. He likes to be in the meetings. And I don't know if he was saved or not yet. But anyway, right there in that kitchen table, Daniel got saved.
Amen.
He prayed to receive the Lord.
Amen.
That was wonderful.
Amen.
He opened his heart. He said, Lord Jesus, I believe in You. Wash me from my sins. Come into me. I give my life to You.
Amen.
Boom. Regenerated.
Amen.
A 23-year-old man got God's life. What a mercy. What a mercy. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know what the angels were doing, right?
Yeah.
They were jumping for joy that this man repented and received the Lord. It's not a small thing to preach the gospel. It's not a small thing when somebody prays to receive the Lord. So that man received the Lord. Okay, so when he repented of his sins, when he opened his heart, he was regenerated. Okay, we sang that hymn, right? That it's a race for us to run, hallelujah.
Right.
Okay, you know what he was doing that, when was it, Tuesday night? He was there, what do you call that, the start line, where they kneel down and they go like this, right? And they wait for the gun. And then they start running. Okay. He got regenerated. He got placed there at the starting line of his Christian life.
Wow.
Pa! He started to run. So right away, his friend told her, you need to be baptized.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
That's the full gospel.
Yeah.
Right there. You believe, you're baptized, you will be saved.
Amen.
Okay, so we're praying. Lord, baptize Daniel. The sooner, the better.
Right.
Right?
Right?
Will you join us in that prayer?
Amen.
Lord, baptize Daniel.
Amen.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Amen.
Right? So he can start running without any hindrance. Okay. So there is a race for us to run. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, I have good news tonight. There is a way for us to race to win.
Wow. Amen.
There is a way for us the race to win. Sometimes, I know in my experience, sometimes we get discouraged. Like, Lord, is really there a way for us to win this thing? It seems so difficult. I look at my experience. I look at my failure. I was like, oh, impossible. So you know what I need to do? I need to look away unto Jesus.
Amen.
Don't look at myself. Let's look away unto Jesus.
Amen.
The more we look away unto Him, He perfects our faith.
Amen.
He authors our faith. He's the what? The source of our faith.
Amen.
But not only this, He's perfecting our faith. By what? By we looking away unto Him. The only way to run this race, brothers and sisters, is to look away unto Jesus.
Amen.
And look away from everything else. Sometimes, when we come to these times, we get encouraged. We get stirred up to run the race. But we look to ourselves as the source to what? To run the race. Right away when we do that, we lost. So let's look away unto Jesus. Don't try to do this. Don't try to do that. Enjoy the Lord. On the one hand, We want to give you some handles so that you can take, so that you can practice in your experience to what? Not only to receive salvation, but to grow unto salvation, to enjoy your salvation. So this morning, our brother was very burdened that we would be those who what? Who would read the Bible. How many of you are going to take the challenge to read the Bible?
Amen.
You going to take it? Let's take the challenge. Why not? I saw something ridiculous about like pouring some ice water on you or something like that. That's a challenge that's going on. I don't know what that is. What about reading the Bible? Forget about the ice cubes. Read the Bible. That's a challenge. That's a challenge. You know, if I had the time, I would read all your names and I would challenge you name by name to read the Bible. For what? 66 days. Will you do it?
Amen.
Will you read the Bible for 66 days?
Amen.
Okay, I'll check with you what? October what? October 20th. We'll check. Will you read the Bible for 66 days?
Amen.
All that Jehovah has said, we will do. Okay, be careful. Look away unto Jesus.
Amen.
Say, Lord, give me the strength and be the way for me to read the Bible the next 66 days.
Amen.
I have no way to do it. I know I'm a failure. I say I'm going to do it, but I don't do it. So, Lord, you do it.
Amen.
See, you give the responsibility to Him. So then he has the way to come back and say, hey, did you read today? That's the Lord coming back to you. Because you gave him permission. You asked him to do it in you. So he will come. Did you read today? He said, Lord, I'm so tired. I just spent 3 hours on Facebook. It's okay. Just go ahead and read the chapter. You read the chapter, you get washed from Facebook, and you get enlivened.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we waste so much time. We do. We have time, and we waste it. And be mindful of one thing. That time will never come back. Think about it. It's like if at the beginning of your life, the Lord gave you $100, and then You spend it. And you spend it unwisely. Then you realize, oh, I only have $30 left. Oh, maybe some of you have $70 left. Do you understand? You have a long time before the Lord calls you, before the Lord comes back. Don't waste any time. We're very burdened that in the what? In the progressing stage of your salvation, what the Lord gives us is time. He gives us our whole lifetime so that we could be saved. Our spirit is regenerated in how many minutes?
A lifetime.
No! In an instant. Right? In an instant. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Boom. Regenerated. Hallelujah! That's glorious. When a person receives the Lord, I don't know, how many have you had the experience of seeing someone get saved? Okay, those of you who haven't, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me the experience of seeing someone get saved. I want to see someone get saved. When that person gets saved, you get saved. You're so encouraged. That person just was plucked out of the fire. He received God's life, or she received God's life. Her destiny got changed. Praise the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, in the progressing stage, how about we read point one and then we go on to point two? Okay, the first stage of salvation is the stage of regeneration, and in this stage, our spirit is saved. This is the beginning of the Christian life. Okay, so here is man. And in the first stage, our spirit gets regenerated. Hallelujah. God is here. Praise the Lord. Right? And that occurs in what? In an instant. A person repents. A person believes in the Lord. That person calls on the name of the Lord, that person is saved. That means their spirit is regenerated. It was deadened, right? But now it received a new life, the life of God. God came into the spirit of that person. That is glorious. Now, we're going on to the progressing stage of our salvation, in which God desires to, listen to this, He wants to release us from the power of sin. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. Don't you want to be released from the power of sin? Amen. Aren't you tired of sinning? Amen. I'm tired of sinning!
Amen.
Tell the Lord, Lord, I'm tired of sinning. Yeah, release me. Release me.
Release me.
Amen. I want to be released. Don't you want to be released?
Amen.
Okay. So he wants to give us freedom from sin. That is tremendous, brothers and sisters. Sin is a bondage. It's something that keeps us under bondage. I was freshly touched. I was in a meeting not too long ago, and I saw a young man walk into the meeting, and I thanked and praised the Lord that this young man walked into the meeting. But at the same time, my heart was broken. You say, why? Well, he's been bound, and you can tell in his physical appearance. I pray that none of you would be bound by sin. That all of you would be released by sin, from sin. That the Lord would preserve you, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the enemy is cruel. And all he wants to do is to what? He comes as a thief, right? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that is literal. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to undo your life. And he uses sin to do that. It's serious. You think, oh, it's just a puff. Oh, it's just a little cup. Oh, it's just a touch. No, it's sin. And it will damage you. It will damage you. So we need to embark and run the race with endurance, right? There is this race for us to run, right? And in Hebrews 12, it tells us to what? To put away every encumbrance. Amen. Everything that is, every sin that so easily entangles us. So that what? So that we would run the race which is set before us. Right? There is a race. The Christian life is a race. All of us are on a race course. Some of us may have been on this race course 30 years. Some of you, 2 years. Some of you, 2 months. Some of you, 1 day. But all of us are on that race course. Praise the Lord. And what do we need to do? We need to put away every encumbrance. Have you ever seen a sprinter or a person that runs a marathon run with a suit?
No.
They just, I'm cool. No. They wear as little as they can. Really? Don't they? So that there wouldn't be any drag by the air. That's why they do that. And they buy the best shoes aerodynamically, whatever. They have a special clothing that if you sweat, it doesn't wet, doesn't feel wet. Right? All this technology has advanced for what? For them to run the race and win the prize. What about us? The Lord has advanced in His recovery much to unveil to us the way of salvation. Praise the Lord. We can put away every hindrance. Every sin that so easily entangles us. Sin, it's like a, have you ever walked into like a patch of what do you call that? Like where there are thistles and thorns. You walk into a patch. So if you get in there, it's difficult to get out. And if you get out, you get out like all punctured. Right? That's sin. If you get into sin and you try to run the race, it's very difficult. Actually, it's impossible. You're stuck there. But in the progressing stage of our salvation, God's desire is to what? Is to free us from sin. And He will do it by His life. Hallelujah. There is a law within us that operates. It's the law of the Spirit of life. This law can save us from the law of sin and of death. Hallelujah. We just have to give it the proper environment to operate. What does that mean? Brothers and sisters, in your schedule every day, put as a first thing, spend time with the lovely Jesus. Amen. You have to put it on your schedule. If you don't put it on your schedule, it will not happen. Many other things take the place of the Lord in the morning. Right? How many of you, I know a lot of you are, you know, good students, you want to go to the best university and so on. So you plan to do this. And you plan to take the SATs and the MCATs and all these kinds of things at the right time, and you prepare. Okay, let me tell you, that degree is not for eternity. That school is not for eternity. But the race that we are running is really important. But I don't know, you know, we get tricked by Satan to think that the outward things are more important than the spiritual things in our pursuit. So we think very little of spending time with the Lord, but we give a lot of importance to just fill in the blank. Whatever you give importance besides, you know, more than the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I pray, Lord, tonight, show us how important it is for us to cooperate with you to run this race. I can't do this. The Lord has to do it. The Lord has to take our veil away so that we would give the proper time that we need to give to the Lord in our daily life. Brothers and sisters, you took the challenge to read the Bible. Will you take the challenge to have morning revival for 66 days? Will you take the challenge to have morning revival for 66 days?
Amen.
I'm glad you hesitated, because you realize there is a price to pay. And you know, Satan, who is God's enemy, who hates your guts, he fights every morning so that we won't have a time with Jesus. So when you remember on Monday morning, pray for Brother Juan, because he's in the middle of a battle at 6:30 to have a time with the Lord. And Satan is fighting so that we wouldn't have a time with the Lord. I'm serious. It's a fight. It's a battle.
Amen.
We are, you know, you see all, you know, rockets being shot, you know, from one place to Israel and this and that, and another part of the earth that is this kind of war and that kind of war. People are losing their lives. Christians are being killed physically. Right? We see that as a war. But we don't realize that we ourselves are in the middle of a battle every day. Every day. Every day. We're battling. So not only is this a race to run, but it's a battle to fight.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, will you give the Lord 5 minutes in the morning for the next 66 days?
Amen.
Don't do it for me. Don't say yes because I'm here stirring you up. This is a vow before you and your God. Do you understand? You and your God. You know, not too long ago, Brother Ricky and I went to Brazil, and we were sharing with the young people about experiencing and enjoying the God of Abraham. Right? Will he be your God, Justin? Will the Lord have the boldness to call himself the God of Justin? Or the God of Pamela? Or the God of Sonia? Or the God of John? Or the God of Nathan? If you spend time with him, he will become your God.
Amen.
So, I am not trying to stir you up to say yes to the things that I'm challenging you to. I want you to consider how important it is for you to give time to the Lord in your daily life. And brothers and sisters, this stage, this progressing stage, is a stage of growing in the divine life. You know, Daniel just got saved a couple days ago, right? So he's just like a baby. He's just a baby, right? So the Bible tells us, right? It says, right, to long for the guileless milk of the word, what? As newborn babes, right? In order that by it you may grow unto salvation. So we can say Daniel's need right now is just the milk of the word, right? Because he's a newborn babe. But actually, that doesn't disqualify us of the drinking of the milk of the word. Sometimes we need milk, don't you? I need milk sometimes. Like the Lord in the word, I open to the word and I see how much the Lord loves me. Oh, that's milk. I get soothed in my soul and I get strengthened to go on. Some other times I need a harder word from the Lord. So I open and the Lord in his word, he speaks to me. He adjusts me. He rebukes me. He convicts me. Oh, but you know what? That was, the Lord had the ground to do it, and he did it in a loving way, yet it was a firm, gentle, it was a firm word to me, right? Haven't you received that from the Lord in his word? So that's both the milk and the word of righteousness, right? There are these two kinds of food in the word, and we need both. So brothers and sisters, when you read the Bible, don't just read it to say that you read it. Give time to the Lord when you're reading the word and speak to him. Sometimes I don't understand a word. So I ask the Lord, Lord, what does this mean? Or Lord, I didn't understand this paragraph I just read. So I ask him, Lord, what does that mean? Talk to him. Engage him in a conversation. You'll be surprised. He may talk back with you. Do you understand? It's hard for us sometimes because we are trying to establish a relationship. Praise the Lord for the progressing stage of our salvation.
Amen.
In this stage, we are being saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you being saved?
Amen.
I'm being saved.
Amen.
You know, through regeneration, our spirit that was deadened was saved. Now our soul, listen, our soul is very complicated. Our soul is who we are, right? But the soul has a life that has been contaminated with Satan's life. So that's why the Lord tells us to deny the soul life, right? And pick up our cross and follow him. Because anything that proceeds from the life that isn't in our soul is against God. Listen to this. Whether it is good or evil. That's difficult for us to understand. That's why we talk about exercising our spirit. That's why we need to read the Word of God and allow Him to renew our mind. If we don't do that, when the Lord tries to speak to us, we have no way to interpret what the Spirit of God is saying in our spirit. Because we don't have, you know, the decoder hasn't been programmed. Do you understand? Our mind, our renewed mind, decodes what the Spirit of God speaks in our spirit. Right? So that's why we need to read the Word of God. So that we can understand what God is saying through the feeling that He gives us in our intuition. Or through the feeling He gives us in our conscience. Our mind interprets that. And then we get a direct word from God. Oh, that was God speaking to me. Why some people say God spoke to me this morning, and other people say, why God has never spoken to me? Yet they are regenerated. Maybe because you don't read the Word of God. We have to read the Word. We have to have what? Store the Word in our heart that we may not sin against the Lord. The Word sanctifies us. The Word, what? Separates us. The Word allows God to speak to us. You see how important the Word is? So, brothers and sisters, not only do we need to have a morning time with the Lord, not only do we need to read the Bible, but any time we're convicted that we have committed a sin, we need to confess our sin. Right away. Don't wait until the evening. If you're convicted that you didn't pick up that paper the Lord told you to pick up in the ramp, right? I saw a bunch of napkins there. And everybody was passing through, like going to Jericho. Down to Jericho. And no one stopped to pick up the... So I picked them up. But I wonder if the Lord was speaking to any one of you, pick up those napkins that are all there. Pick up that cup that was there. If we don't listen to the Lord, that's a sin. So we need to say, Lord, I am sorry I didn't do that. I'm sorry I didn't obey you at that time. Or when the Lord convicts you of your attitude with your parents, right away say, Lord, I am sorry. I am so rude to my mother. Every time she speaks to me, I just give her that bad look. And then you go to your mom. Mom, I'm sorry. I always look at you funny when you talk to me. And your mom would say, like, what happened to you? I got convicted by the Lord, Mom. Why not? What about all your... What about things that you have that don't belong to you? That you took from somebody and say, oh, let me borrow this. And it's been 5 years and you're still borrowing them. They're not yours. It's not yours. That book, that CD, that MP3, whatever it is, if you borrow it, it's not yours. Give it back. Right? If you get convicted of the places where you go on the internet, repent and tell the Lord, Lord, I don't agree. I go to those places. Lord, it is sin, and I call it what it is. Save me from this. Just tell Him right away. Confess your sin right away. This affords the Lord the opportunity to grow in you. The divine life will grow in you. The Lord will strengthen you to forsake that sin. The progressing stage is a growing stage. It's a stage in which we grow in the divine life. My brothers and sisters, I don't know how to get it through. If we don't put God in our daily life, we will not grow. It's as simple as that. You don't give God time in your schedule every day, we're kidding ourselves that we're growing. Sorry. That's the way it is. So, I say what? As a sixth grader, as a seventh grader, you can You all must have schedules, right? I get up at such and such a time. I go to bed at such and such a time. I spend time during my homework during this time. Some of you work right now. What about God in your schedule? Let me ask you this. Write this down. Is God in my schedule? Is God in your schedule? Good. We need to place God in our schedule. Somehow we need to give God time. And that will help us to grow in the divine life. That will what? Will propel us. Will push us to go forward during this for this race. I need that. I need to put God in my schedule. Morning revival, reading the Bible, contacting people, visiting people, home meeting. We want you to carry out, we want you to carry on what you have as a foretaste in the summer school into your daily life. But for that, you need to give permission to God to get into your schedule. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. So, as we give the Lord the way to grow in us, we are transformed. You know, the word transform comes from the word metamorphosis. That's how you say it. That's how you say it. Right? Which is a change in form. Right? But this, we saw in this past lessons, it is the result of a metabolic process. By us taking God in, the element of God is ingesting in our being, and a heavenly chemical reaction takes place in our being, and the old things are discharged, and the element of God is added into us. So where the old things were, now God is. So people start seeing changes in you. Not because you're doing something outward, but because God is working something inward, and this is affecting the way you are. So, in essence, you're shining out God. Amen. You may not know it. You may not have that consciousness, but surely others do. Surely others do. So, I heard a sister saying, she was testifying, you know, she goes to school on Monday, and some people ask, why are you so happy? Yeah. What is that? That is God shining out. Amen. They just call it happiness. She just happened to spend time with Jesus. And she got filled with Him. And she's happy. So she goes to school on Monday. And she's happy. She's not blue on Monday. She's green on Monday. She's full of the divine life. What about this? You know, we often share with you, you are different. Yes, by birth, by the divine birth, you're different. But, sorry to say, if we walk into your school campus and we're walking around, we may not see you. You understand? We may see you, but we may not recognize you. Because you just blend in with everybody else and you're doing the same thing they're doing. There is no shining. There is no God there. Do you understand? But I assure you, if you give God time in your schedule, I walk through your school campus and you will be shining. There will be something there. That's the way it is. What does it say in Philippians 2:15? Can somebody read it? Shining as luminaries, right? Holding forth the word of life. Go ahead. Go ahead, quickly, if you have it. Just read it. Go ahead, brother.
That you may be blessed. blameless and guileless, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine as luminaries in the world.
Among whom you what? Shine. You shine as luminaries in the world. Okay, could you stand up and read it with your spirit to everybody so everybody can hear it? Okay, listen. Philippians 2:15.
Sorry, I just closed my book.
Go ahead. This is who we should be. As we're running the race, we should be luminaries. We should be shining out light. Watch, look.
All right, Philippians 2:15. That you may be blameless and guileless, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom we shine as luminaries in the world.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, on campus at Central, they had like intramural soccer games. And so we had some brothers there on campus. And you know what the name of their team was? Luminaries. You know why they played those games? Because they wanted to share the gospel with people. Hallelujah. But they were shining. Sometimes they got too heated into the soccer and the light went down. No more shining. But then they repented, came back and shining again. I'm serious. We need to shine. Where? In the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. That's where we are. That's where you are. In school, that's where you are. At work, that's where we are. In the world, that's where we are. It's just a crooked and perverted generation. But praise the Lord, we can shine as luminaries in the world. It's not our own light. And the, you know, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Right? That's the Lord Jesus. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, we are God-men who have the life of Jesus in us, and He's shining out through us as luminaries in the world. That is not a small thing, that the Lord can gain a group of people shining out God, expressing Him and representing Him. Okay, so in this stage, we're being built up. And in this stage, we're maturing in life. And I'd like to say something here about maturing. You know, in the past, we have placed a lot of emphasis on transformation, right? We need to be transformed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. We need to be transformed, right? Beholding and reflecting the Lord. We are transformed from glory to glory as from the Lord's Spirit, right? That's wonderful. But brothers and sisters, the Lord wants us also to mature in the divine life. So if you have been in the church life 10 years, 15 years, 6 years, 7 years, there should be some degree of maturity in the divine life in you and in me. Right? How old are you, brother?
16.
You're 16. Okay. I know Gregory is 19. Right? How old are you, brother?
16.
All these are young brothers. They are young brothers. Right? And listen, they are relatively mature. Relatively mature. Right? In relation to whom? To a fifth grader. They're mature, right? Maturity is relative. We would be really surprised and really worried. Is it Nathan? If Nathan was acting here as a fifth grader. But he's not. His life... it's the life of a 16-year-old. It's mature to that extent. Do you understand? In the divine life, brothers and sisters, we should not remain babes. We should grow in the divine life. How about we all pray? Lord, cause me to grow in the divine life.
Lord, give me the experiences that I need.
Amen. So, if we grow in the divine life, if we mature in the divine life, listen, we have an ample opportunity, a great opportunity to be useful to God in this age. To what? To build up the body of Christ and to bring the Lord back. Don't just pray for your transformation. Pray for your maturation so that you could be useful to the body of Christ. So that you could shepherd others. So that you can build up others. So you can be a factor of life in the church. Praise the Lord. That's a great aspiration. Lord, in this stage of my salvation, I want to be mature in your life so that I could be useful to you. Okay. And we see that, let me read a verse in Hebrews 12:10. Oh, sorry, I'm taking so long. Hebrews 12:10 says, "For they disciplined for a few days, as it seemed good to them, but he for what is profitable, that we might partake of his holiness." So, the Lord, as the Spirit, is sanctifying us inwardly. And he also is disciplining us outwardly, so that we might partake of his holiness. He wants to, you know, we will be holy as our God is holy. He's doing that through the discipline of the Holy Spirit. So he gives us situation. He arranges our environment to what? To touch our being so that he can be added to us. So that we would cooperate with him and allow him to touch whatever he wants to touch in my being or in our being. Do you understand? In our life, we will face disappointments. We will face things that we did wrong, and that will result in a certain consequence. We will be disappointed in people. We will not get all the time what we desire. When we go through those experiences, don't just get mad and just like, just don't cry. No, open to the Lord. Lord, why did you bring me back from South America? I'm serious. You know, Lord, why does this happen to me? Lord, what are you trying to touch in my being through this experience? That will afford you a great opportunity to grow. But if you remain in your frustration and in your disappointment, you just will become a bitter, miserable person. And God will not gain anything in you. So when you're disappointed, when you don't get in that university that you wanted to get so bad, talk to the Lord. Lord, why didn't you allow me to go there? Why did you open the door to this other one that I don't like? You know, just open to him. This will allow you to what? To grow in the divine life. It's very crucial. Okay, and the third stage of our salvation, brothers and sisters, is the redemption of our bodies. Right? And that also will happen in an instant. We will be glorified. Amen. We will have a body of glory like the Lord's body. We will not be a clone of Jesus, but we will have a spiritual body. Okay. Why do I say this? We were talking about, you know, last night we were talking and the brother was saying, I was thinking that we were going to be clones of Jesus. On the one hand, the Bible does tell us that we will be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God. That's our destiny. We will be conformed to His image. And we will be glorified. Right? But in eternity, in the New Jerusalem, we will know each other. I will know that's Frank Hung, and he will know this is Juan Fuentes. But we will have another body. Praise the Lord, Frank. Amen. A resurrected body, a glorified body. Listen, no more sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know the Lord Jesus on the night of his resurrection, he appeared to the disciples in the midst of the room, right? He didn't knock on the door, right? He just appeared to them. But then they saw his wounds. And then he asked them if they had anything to eat. I cannot explain. But he had a spiritual body, right? We will have a glorified body. That means that the body will be saturated with the glory of God. So, our spirit was saved. Our soul was transformed, and the life of God grew in us to the point of confirmation to the image of the firstborn son, and now we are glorified. That means that through this process of salvation in the initial stage, in the progressive stage, and in the completing stage, we will fulfill God's purpose. We will express Him with His image, and we will represent Him with His dominion. He will do it. His salvation is full and complete. Satan damaged, right, man's body. He damaged man's soul and tried to corrupt man's spirit, but he couldn't, right? God afforded us a complete and full salvation. Our spirit is regenerated. Amen. Our soul is being saved. Amen. And our body will be glorified. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. For His complete salvation. Okay, how about the brothers will tell us what to do? Should we pray? How about we pray two by two?